Don't sweat the technique.
You found the killer bees live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
He's Blank, I'm Branham. 8863, the boy spitting fire again. There's a reason why Nick has his job and we don't. Not saying he's perfect. He doesn't know what windows are anymore. But I'm riding with his decisions. Looks like he doesn't want to end up giving bad contracts. I'm good with it. That's the other part of it. You give bad contracts in this little, like, C.J. Stroud rookie window. You screw it up. Like, you screw it up. You're not able to sign one or a couple big names or good names the following year, the year after that. Nick Caserio very clearly doesn't believe in building teams through free agency. I'd find me a winner that does. I don't think that teams build through free agency. He believes in building through the draft. He's built a good core with the draft, and he's going to sign free agents, quality free agents, on shorter-term deals.
But also think about some of the other comments that he had made previously about it's not just a one-year scenario where you have to spend all your money. Like, he may not go out and please everybody and spend every dollar that you want him to spend. But in his mind, it's a different window than what other people might be seeing through. And the fact that everybody sees all this money and says he's going to spend it all now, he might not. But at the same time, it goes back to the point you were making, which we both have been reiterating, which is he's not going to do anything that's a big splash. You look at most of the moves that are made at the top of the free agency class when free agency opens up. Most of them are made for the splash and the reaction and the sexiness of the move. But you have to get the ones that pan out and give you the return on investment. You're overpaying. Most of the guys that are off the board early, you have to overpay to get, and there's competition to get them, and that's not what he's going to sign up for.
King of Twitch saying the best teams go out and sign. Says Chiefs, San Francisco. I disagree about the Chiefs. The Chiefs, they take care of their own.
They sign creatively.
And they take care of their own. Chris Jones got paid. Like, Chris Jones got a ton of money. Pat Mahomes got a big contract, although for his production, probably below value. So I disagree with the Chiefs. And they also traded Tyreek Hill and went kind of, I don't want to say the cheaper route because they redistributed that money. But instead of spending big money on one singular player like a Tyreek Hill, they ended up trading Tyreek Hill. And then they've won back-to-back Super Bowls since.
That's the thing. Trading it may Tyreek not have Hill. Looked during the regular season like they upgraded from Tyreek Hill or replaced him. But they didn't have to because they won another Super Bowl without him.
And then you mentioned San Francisco.
They're struggling right now. They're cutting a lot of good football players.
Like, outside of McCaffrey, though?
Well, big news, the 49ers did spend. They just signed a contract with Leonard Floyd, a name that we brought up as being a name we were kind of interested in, at least for the Houston Texans. He's off the board and going to San Francisco.
Probably not after Autry. Do you have details on that contract? I wonder if he gave him a veteran deal.
The Rappaport tweet doesn't have any details yet.
It wouldn't shock me if he gave the Niners a veteran deal. I wonder if signing Leonard Floyd, though, if that takes him out of a couple of other players in free agency.
Well, they tried to restructure Armstead. They couldn't do it. They've got to figure out what they're going to do with Ayuk because of the fact they already paid Debo. They pay McCaffrey a lot of money. They're cap-strapped in a lot of ways. So it's going to be interesting to see the numbers and see how they're figuring out a way to do all this. And I don't know how much more they're going to be able to do.
I think it means that they don't like Chase Young.
Oh, that's for sure. I think he's gone.
And if they traded for Chase Young and they're immediately day one of free agency saying, like, we're good, we're out of the Chase Young business – I don't want Chase Young. But, again, I think the Texans are done with defensive ends. They have their defensive end. They signed DeNico Autry. I don't think they're going to sign another defensive end. Now, I think there's a chance that they draft one. I don't see them signing another one. Because you look at that room right now, you got Will Anderson. You got DeNico Autry. Depending on Dylan Horton's health, he has Hodgkin's lymphoma. He's in remission, so that's great news. Maybe that means he gets back on the football field. You know, too early to tell that. I don't think that they sign a veteran. Maybe like a Jerry Hughes type, but not somebody who's like a real contributor.
A Barnett comes back or a Jerry Hughes.
I think even Barnett might be too good.
He might have shown in a small dose of time when he got out of Philadelphia that what he did here was enough for someone to give him some more money. But you never know. And when the market starts to thin out, then maybe you know, they liked what they had here too and the way they were used and they want to come back. But there's going to be options. It's just going to be real interesting how some of these teams that, again, we talk about the creativity of Kansas City. Well, San Francisco is now scrambling because they lost some guys that had made that defense so tough for so long and made it a lot easier for guys like Fred Warner to roam the field and do things because they had talent all over the field. Now they got to get creative a little bit.
We have details now. Leonard Floyd, 2 years, $20 million worth up to 24.
That's a pretty favorable deal. I think that's kind of a championship contender discount.
I think it is, and I think that, you know, coming from the Rams and knowing, you know, he wanted to improve, you know, continue with the winning culture, and he's got a chance to chase a ring because offensively, you know, with the talent that they have on the offensive side of the football, there's no reason to believe in a weaker NFC that the Niners aren't going to compete again. So it's a good spot. It's a good spot for him to help them, and you're right. He probably took a little bit of a discount. It says they're done with Chase Young. How do they replace Armstead?
It's a good question.
Yeah. That's going to be a big one for them because their D-line was the – and their interior D-line was just so disruptive.
4786, I'm at the carnival right now, and guess who's in line for the Ferris wheel? Nick Caserio. I don't necessarily agree with you, but I kind of like the line. Eric, when does the wide receiver market chill? What team has gone crazy expensive on wide receiver and done much? I don't think many. Like, does championship receiver win in the NFL?
I mean, they certainly have that. Trade. I mean, Tyreek Hill, A.J. Brown, Stephon Diggs. Now, obviously, those teams haven't won a title, but they've been in the title hunt, but they've all done it through trade.
Yeah, I don't know
trade
if I would consider the Dolphins in the title hunt.
Trade and then re-sign a big deal, but not signed in free agency to the actual big deal.
You consider Miami in the title hunt?
I mean, they're a playoff team. Back-to-back playoff team, yeah.
I don't think they're in a hunt Super Bowl to win a Super Bowl because though. Their defense let them down.
Maybe even Tua. Well, their defense was hurt. Like, I'm willing to give their defense some, you know,
but
passes
you also,
there.
But also, like, the money you gave to Hill and the money you're going to have to give to Tua and the money that they've spread out, they've already kind of went all in at the start of the season, and now you're seeing them have to cut and let Wilkins just walk out of the building. Like, there's going to be – I don't know how they're going to improve their defense any significantly from all – and they gave up a bunch to get Tyreek Hill, so their draft picks aren't going to be what they need.
I don't think the wide receiver position is going to chill because there's a lot of non-elite quarterback play in the NFL, and if you don't have an elite quarterback, you feel that you have to go with top-tier receivers to elevate the quarterback. It's why I think Stroud's good here because you don't really want to spend amazing top dollar on receiver, although it seems like Caserio really wants Nico Collins around. Maybe they can get a deal on him where it's not necessarily like top five, top seven money, maybe cusp of top 10. I'm starting to think more and more they just keep Robert Woods, though. The $5 million in savings would be nice, but for the price of some receivers, like, what are you really getting like added there? You have the unknown of what the player's like. If you like Robert Woods in the locker room, and why would, and wouldn't they have already done it by now? Like, if they were going to cut Robert Woods, wouldn't they have already done it? I think Woods is on this team.
You would have done him a solid two to try and land early with another team, possibly. But, I mean, if you cut Robert Woods, that $5 million could have basically covered all the guys you signed today.
But you would need another receiver.
But there's still plenty to be found out there.
Sure.
That are better than him.
But at $5 million?
Yeah.
Like, you're going to use that savings of $5 million and find a quality receiver?
I think you can. What's our guy in Washington?
Curtis Samuel.
I think Samuel will come here for $5 million and be an upgrade.
I'm not sure.
I don't know what the market's going to be for him because I think a lot of teams know he's got talent. But he would be the kind of guy that I think you could get. See, what I don't like is a lot of people clamoring for, go trade for T. Higgins now. Go trade for a guy. And then, because the minute you trade for him, he wants the extension. And you got to pay him the big money. And I'm not sure that he is a true wide receiver one yet. And like you said, Nick really likes Nico. And if you get to see what Nico can do this upcoming season, there's a good chance that they're not looking for a big-time wide receiver one because they feel like they got him.
I also think that it doesn't – like, even if you keep Robert Woods, you're still going to draft one, I think, because you're still going to need a sixth receiver. Mm-hmm. So I personally would cut Woods and play the free agency game. I get the sense that the Texans are not going to do that, though. I agree. I would do that. But if you were going to do that, Nick Caserio, wouldn't you have already done it?
I think it depends. I think he's probably kind of seeing how much he might have to overspend. I think that, you know, in trying to balance his books right now, he sees what is what the going rates are, what got out of the building.
It's going up, though.
Right.
So he'd be more likely to keep him.
No, because a lot of guys have gone out, but he knows how many he's going to have to replace. Maybe he thought one of those twos were coming back. And now with the market, he might have to overpay. I think it's going to come down to if he needs that $5 million or not, possibly.
Yeah, but that would open up another position you have to sign.
But a lot of those,
they've got plenty of cap.
A lot of those guys, they have
a
ton of cap space
on him now,
and they filled a lot of their depth, especially with secondary positions, as you covered.
They can make sure they get the wide receiver that they want, and then make the move to cut Robert Woods. Yeah, it's not like they don't need his $5 million to make the move.
True.
They can make the move and then cut him afterwards.
I just feel like they would have already done it
in case they don't get, well, because they haven't got the guy. But if they get the guy later on in the process, let's say, like Joel's point, Curtis Samuel, then they can decide to cut him after because now they've got a guy to replace his spot on the roster.
I don't get the sense that that's how the Texans conduct business.
Probably not.
I don't think that's how Caserio and D'Amico cut business.
A possibility.
No, and I think from, like, if you eliminate the feeling part of it and, like, the psychological part of the business, like, if that was Daryl Morey, he absolutely would do that. It doesn't strike me as a Nick Caserio, D'Amico Ryans move. More so D'Amico Ryans than Nick Caserio. I feel like they would make sure they're taking care of their guy, even if they were going to get rid of him. I don't think they would play that game.
I would agree that that is more D'Amico than it is Nick, but I think that maybe Nick has softened a little bit since he got out of New England, but that's truly a D'Amico move.
Yeah, I don't think that they would. I don't think they'd play this game. You know, I think that that's, like, Brian's plan is something that, like, Daryl Morey would do. I think most general managers would do. I don't really get the feel that that's what these Texans would do. 6803, if the Texans strike out in free agency at the running back position, what about drafting someone like Trey Benson from Florida State who could possibly go in the second round? I think second round's too high for any running back. I think if you're drafting a running back in this draft, you're in the second round, you're majorly reaching. I like Trey Benson. I like Jalen Wright from Tennessee. There's some running backs I do like in this draft. Now, I don't want to go into training camp, though, with that running back as my RB1.
No,
I want a veteran. I want a veteran, too. And I don't think the Texans can afford to go to the draft without signing a running back. Damian Pierce is the only running back currently on this roster. You're probably going to keep four running backs on this team. Maybe one's like a specialist type. But even if you go rookie, whatever, you're going to have to go free agent. There's going to have to be
a free agent. Plus, you feel the pressure, then, of you have to find running back. And that's tougher to do than finding value in a guy that might slide or fall. Now you might have to do a panic pick because you need a guy, like last year when they truly needed a center when they couldn't find any in free agency, mm-hmm. and they were left going into the draft going, I got to get one, and then they ended up taking two.
Yeah, I don't hate taking two running backs late because it increases the odds of one of them hitting.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if that's the plan, I still want a veteran running back. I still want a veteran free agent. 8089, draft Thomas in the second and cut Woods. Brian Thomas, he won't be there in the second. But even if, like, the Texans are also in a position where you can draft a rookie and still have a veteran. You're going to have six receivers on the roster. Six guys are going to make the 53-man roster on opening day. You got Nico, you got Tanks, you have currently Robert Woods under contract. If you cut him, I think you're signing a free agent. You have Hutchinson, you have Mechie under contract. You can then draft that sixth receiver. Just because you sign a veteran receiver or keep Robert Woods as that veteran receiver, I still think the Texans are going to draft a receiver in the draft as well.
I think they're going to draft a receiver. I think they're going to draft a running back at some point. To your point, they're going to create depth with that as well. But I still think that there's an ability with the Woods situation and specifically because you don't know what you're going to get out of Hutchinson and you don't know what you're going to get out of Mechie for different reasons. And I think that they have to get one more veteran on this roster. And I think they can upgrade Woods by spending the same amount of money and gaining some money back for maybe some other signings you might need.
Yeah, I don't think that you're saving money by doing that. I think it's a wash
at best.
You're still going to
spend it, but you maybe upgrade the position.
Yeah, like I would do it. I would cut them, save the $5 million, then maybe you could upgrade the position and maybe even spend a little bit more money. I would be in favor of that. I just get the feeling and the hunch that they've already made that decision, and I think that they're going to keep Robert Woods.
We'll see. I mean, I thought they were keeping Devin Singletary.
Yeah, but Singletary's
not
under contract.
Yeah, you don't have to cut him. I understand that. But I thought, you know, because I thought if they're going to be loyal to guys and they like guys and they said they, you know, they liked him in the locker room, Woods, and he did a lot of things. He special teams. He was a return guy if you needed him, all those kind of things. But he definitely, we all knew he wasn't the player he once was. And if you could save money by doing that because it looks like you may need to spend a little more in certain areas, then so be it.
Yeah. I think you lose money doing that, though.
Texture, break even.
Maybe. But, like, what is Curtis Samuel going to sign for? Is there a projection on Curtis Samuel, Brian? Like, I have a hard time figuring that Curtis Samuel is going to sign for less than $5 million. Like, the Jeff Okuda guy, he signed for $4.5 million.
Right. But I'm saying it depends on the market. And I think that if there's a lot of big splashes being made early and a lot of guys are getting overpaid, then maybe there's a chance that when the dust settles, like we talked about, and maybe we were missing somebody. Maybe some team ends up having to cut somebody else.
Yeah, Curtis Samuel's Spotrac projection, 3 years, $34 million.
Yeah, that's
too much.
These middle-of-the-road receivers go for like $10 million a year.
Yeah, that's
like, who
that's
was the guy
lot.
That the Raiders signed last year?
Who?
There was a former Patriot receiver.
From the Patriots.
I'm blanking on his name.
Kendrick Bourne?
No.
He wore a single-digit number, too.
Like, he got like $12 million or something crazy like that.
Oh, you're thinking Jacoby Myers.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got like 11, 12 a year.
Yeah. And, like, that guy is, I mean, he's better than Curtis Samuel, but he's kind of a guy. Like, he's not great.
Yeah,
he's just a guy. You got 11, 12 million for just being a guy.
Yeah, and that's something that you know, when you look at it, you're like, that's way too much. That's out of the league. You're right. Then you're going to lose money, and that doesn't make sense. But I just always felt like there were other guys that are going to be out there that are better than Robert Woods, that even if you break even, yeah, you save five, but you end up spending what you were paying Woods and a little of that, or and spend the rest of it elsewhere, fine. But I still think you upgrade the receiver room by getting someone better than Robert Woods.
I'm okay with how the Texans have handled free agency so far. Are you? 713-780-3776. The one area that we're looking at, though, is like, maybe you got to do something here a little bit. The running back spot. How do you handle this running back spot now with what we know that's happened today? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at Vanderford Air. I mean, for anything for your HVAC system, you need someone that you can trust. And the biggest thing is that at Vanderford Air, they take care of Houstonians by making sure that you have guarantees. That's what we all want in life, right? We want guarantees. If the work needs to be done, it's going to be done right. If the equipment that's put in is new, we want it to work and work the way it's supposed to work. And we want to make sure if anything goes wrong that we're not left holding the bag, but that someone's going to come back and fix it because you have a guarantee. That's why at Vanderford Air, they take care of all of that. They have all these different things as part of their overall 100% money-back guarantee. They have the best value at the lowest cost to you. You get five guarantees in writing along with a written specification of what workmanship you can expect to get, whether it's a repair or it's an absolute new system or something that needs to be done. They're going to take care of you every step of the way. Comfort assurance guarantee. Even the temperature is spot on to where it said where you're supposed to have it. Quality workmanship guarantee. It's going to work well, and the people that are doing it are going to be polite to you and take care of what needs to be done. Performance guarantee. The new operating system is at factory standards and 100% satisfaction guarantee or your money back. That's all you can ask for. If you get that, then you got the right spot. You know it's not as hot as it will be this summer, but that heat is coming soon, and those 100-degree days are going to be here for a long time. The last thing you want to do is wait and then wait too long and then worry about the fact that you need an HVAC system replaced and you need somebody to do it and you have to wait weeks. The other big key I'm going to tell you about at Vanderford Air, that they have same day service. You call them in the morning and you need them there that day because your AC's down, they're going to be there for you. Just call them 281-557-COOL, 281-557-COOL, or go to VanderfordAir.com.
My first rifle was a 243.
You're listening to the Killer Bees and some great music presented by RC Ranch,
the official beef jerky of the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo.
He's Blank. I'm Branham. This is Whiskey Myers. He'll be headlining the rodeo tonight in RG Stadium.
Jake's brother.
You know what this? You're not a fan of Jake.
I'm not, but this is good.
You know what this song makes me want to do?
Drink cold beer.
Have a cold beer. Have a cold beer. Is there a better name than whiskey? I should change my name to Whiskey.
Whiskey Myers is a pretty cool name.
Every segment that I have a Gentle Ben read, Whiskey I should Branham. Go by Whiskey Branham.
Whiskey like, Branham,
my
like
name's
it.
Whiskey Branham, sponsored by Gentle Ben for the next 13 minutes. Bad idea? Good idea?
I like it.
I think it's a triable idea.
Oh, no, hold on. Let's tweak it a little bit. Bourbon Branham.
Oh, that's why they pay you the big bucks. I am sorry that I've never called you talent. You have now graduated from guy behind the glass to talent.
Thank
because
you.
That is elite.
Need I remind you
elite.
Of how he read tweets today?
That's okay.
Always forgive it, Joel.
Whenever you have when you have ideas like that, you don't need to learn how to read. You know, these former athletes who are like great, they used to sign their name by writing X because they didn't know how to read or write. We don't need Brian to know how to read or write
sounds
if he's
like
coming
Jeremy's
up with ideas like
Joe
that.
Jackson over here.
Yeah.
You're saying Joe George couldn't do that?
Come up with a Bourbon Branham?
Yeah.
No chance.
Okay.
Do you think he could have?
No, but that wasn't
no
the question.
Chance. Bourbon Branham for Gentle Ben. Man.
I like it.
That is good. The bosses are going to love this. We're not going to have Brian with us anymore because he's going to start writing copy.
Someone should.
He's going to start writing copy for us.
The sales staff writes novels.
We're not going to have to use ChatGPT anymore?
No.
We'll save that for Will of Bits.
That's right. 713-780-ESPN. Whiskey Myers tonight. The sultry tone. Maybe we want to have a cold beer and a whiskey. Are we out on Henry at running back for 2 years, $18
million? I am. You feel differently than I do. I just don't think Derrick Henry's the right fit here, and what he's got left in the tank is not something I'm interested in. And it would be nice if you were considering that you'd have a complimentary back with him, which you don't.
Yeah, the nine's high for me. Because now it's like Sanders.
I mean, it's the
Swift. I mean, Swift territory.
It's the obvious kind of caveat. Is the second year real?
Yeah,
and that's, I guess, what we have to ask ourselves. It's if it's a true 2 year $18 million deal, I would probably be out. But if the guarantee is maybe 12, like $12 million, and you can get out after year one, I'd be fine with that.
I'm good with that too.
Well, but can I also say that if you're going to give him $9 million just for 1 year, he damn well better still have enough in the tank to be your number one, and I don't know that he does.
You cool with rolling out Damian Pierce then?
No, but I'm cool with being patient with Nick trying to find other options.
Now there's other guys out there that I like more. I like Aaron Jones more.
Oh, I love Aaron Jones.
I like Aaron Jones more than Derrick Henry. I'd be fine with that. Would you rather have Derrick Henry or Austin Eckler?
See, I'd have Eckler over Derrick
Henry. How
about
both? Go get both of them.
Now, if the market starts playing itself out and Henry's not getting what he thought he was going to get, and you can do the fact that you've got the good pass-catching back out of the backfield in Eckler, and maybe it is true when we discussed it, and you guys thought he wasn't very good, might be washed running the football, but he's a good pass-catcher. Well, if you replace Singletary with Eckler, and then you add Henry, that's a pretty good two-headed monster in the backfield.
Give me Henry at 5 or 6, Eckler at 3 or 4, draft a running back in the 4th round. You have Henry, you have Eckler, you have rookie running back in the 4th, you have Damian Pierce. Do you hate that room?
No, I don't hate that room.
No, I like that.
Do you hate that room? Or it could be Zach Moss instead of Austin Eckler.
Yeah, I don't see the need to maybe have Henry and Eckler, but I mean...
Well, one's the runner, one's the catcher.
Sure. I'm just saying veteran running back, take your pick of those two, plus Pierce, plus a rookie running back. I'd be fine with that room.
See, the thing with Eckler is he's better than Singletary if he fills the same role. He doesn't have to start every game and be the between-the-tackles guy.
Yeah, you don't want him as your between-the-tackles
guy. Right, exactly. But if he's your part-time guy...
Because Singletary by the second half of last year was your guy.
Yeah, but he also he was still hot and cold. He had some games that he ran well, and he had some games he didn't.
Right, but I mean like carries, workload.
So, but I think that Eckler could do what Singletary did for you, maybe a little bit more because he's a better pass catcher. But you have to have someone else that's capable of being your every down running back if you need it, and if that's why the combination works for me, because Henry's not going to always be your guy either.
I kind of like the combination.
I think it would work. It'd be your thunder and lightning.
It'd be really good in 2019.
But still,
phenomenal in 2019. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Mario, you're in the Hive of the Bees. What's up, Mario?
Hey, how y'all guys doing today? It's been a while since I popped in and listened to y'all. Here and there. Man, to be honest, man, this is the free agency. The lack of Texas not being even mentioned in a lot of these big name free agents is kind of depressing. I mean, as a team or as a fan of this team, I mean, we get a taste of winning, and now you're telling me you want me to go back to second rate mediocrity. As a fan, I'm not happy with that. Like, I want, you know, make a splash. Say that you want to win.
Ooh.
Try to do something. Don't just sit back and do nothing. Then you want to sell me on second rate players that have used and broken up in free agency. That's not going to win you a championship.
But Mario, stop. Hang on 1 second. Tell me who you wanted that was a big splash that you were looking at that you think would make the impact that
straight
you're looking for.
Straight up Mike Evans, Josh Jacobs. Go after them big names.
Where are those money? But then you, okay, then we're
say going. You want to be a championship team.
But you're going don't boom or bust. You're paying Mike Evans $26.2 million a year. Josh Jacobs got 12
worth
a year. You look at all your money. Now, you only worth what? You only have so much money to spend, and then you're going to have to fill the rest of your roster with street free agents, and you're talking about getting better?
Man, try to make something. Don't just sit here and do nothing and then say, oh, I'm going to settle with broken players that are old, have been in the league, and do something. Don't even just try to make a splash somewhere.
They're not
the only
done yet.
Big signing was re-signing Dalton Schultz. That's it.
The disrespect to Jeff Okuda and Lonnie Johnson right now. I tell you, Mario. Appreciate the call. Good stuff, Mario.
What about the guy you didn't know had multiple sacks that's going to play the other end spot?
Yeah, I think Autry's more than like what Mario is passing along. And look, I think Mario symbolizes a good amount of Texans
fans.
Probably the majority, quite honestly. And I get it. you just won an AFC South title. You just got to the playoffs. You won a game. You lost to a team that was better than you, and you want to get up to that tier. You want to become a contender. Worth it. Now, Mike Evans was never available. Mike Evans was not available when teams could sign Mike Evans, so he wouldn't be an option here. I was a fan of Josh Jacobs. I think Josh Jacobs got a contract that I personally wouldn't feel comfortable signing him to. Mario's saying that you should overspend to go after that star, to make a splash, to give yourself a better chance to win. So I understand where he's coming from. I'm not a fan of building a team that way. I don't think that big free agent acquisitions necessarily lead to teams winning it all. I think the Texans still have a little bit of growth to develop and to get better before they're a free agent away from winning it all. I think good, healthy contracts in free agency, building around the young players, drafting well is how the Houston Texans are going to take that next step. I don't think splurging and overspending for a free agent running back is going to do that. And we went over the numbers last week. I forget them off the top of my head, Brian. Maybe you remember them, but teams that sign running backs have always like a 10% chance to have success. What was the exact number?
Only 10% of running backs. Oh, I'm sorry. Only 10% of the running backs who ran for 1,000 yards over the last five seasons were free agent signings.
Yeah, we pushed back a little bit with Saquon and Jacobs. Mm-hmm. But with Saquon, are you going to go 12.5? What was the AAV on Josh Jacobs?
12.
It's 4 years, 48.
You willing to do that?
I want to know how much that's guaranteed.
I mean, Mario brought up the point, like the Texans have, you know, obviously made the playoffs, won a playoff game, and you want to build on the momentum. But how do they get to the spot where they had that success? It wasn't off of big splashy free agent signings.
Well, and that's what I also
Nico
kept.
Nico Collins and Tank Dell and CJ Stroud and Will Anderson. Reminding Bernard, all rookies.
Teams that make those big splashes aren't very good teams. They're spending for the splash. They're not getting, and then they're not getting the return on investment on top of it. They're just doing it for this to be the significant splash move that impacts fans and ticket sales and excitement. But are those splash moves made by teams that are truly getting over the top and taking a step forward, and is that player going to be better for them?
Yeah, I mean, were Giants fans excited when they signed Kenny Golladay a couple years ago? I'm sure they were. Mm-hmm. And he had how much success for the Giants?
He bombed.
Nothing. He was awful.
Was Kenny Golladay the highest priced free agent that year?
I think he was.
Wide receiver, that's bad. He might have been.
I think he was.
That's bad. Like, free agents don't always. Oh, no. Frankie LeVou came off the board.
Where?
He's going to Washington.
Boy, they're letting Dan Quinn spend money on defense.
3-year deal, $36 million for Frankie LeVou.
I would have done that.
I think I would have done that too.
Yeah, there's your one, Jeremy.
There's my one that I would have done that actually got done today.
So he got 12 a year. That ain't bad.
No, it's not. I would have done that. I think because I like him more in this fit more than some others that are out there. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Mailbag Monday coming up in about 5 minutes. So get your questions in. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line for Daniel. Daniel, you're in the Hive of the Bees. What's up?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Long-time listener, first-time caller. So basically, I got to disagree with a lot of people are saying, especially even on Twitter, right? You got to trust Nick Caserio, right? What we've gotten to this point through the draft, and signing the players like a Grenard or a Desmond King or a Singletary, not the big name splashes, right? We don't need to go big name at all, right? This is where we got to this point. Sure, we got a lot of cap money, but you're going to need that cap in other places to replace the guys, which you've been talking about all day, replace the guys that we're losing. So, we got our big pieces, right, in our rookies from last year. I think we'll just stay the course, right? I don't think there's a name out there that is going to help this team, any better than, people that were losing. You talk about Saquon, all these guys. How many games have these guys missed? You know, Mike Evans, a 30-something-year-old receiver, I don't think there's that big, huge jackpot free agent that we were looking at to actually take the corner. I think you guys said it best. You're looking at a bunch of people that are getting their second contract to try to make big splashes, and I don't think that's the Texan way. I like what we're doing. Get the guys that fill the roles. We had some superstars come in the past couple of years by, the second or third day of free agency, right? Like Bernard and Singletary. I know I said those guys already, but it's players like that that are going to make this team better. I don't know if you guys agree, but I think what they're doing right now is the Texan way. What we've been doing, Nick Caserio, since he's got here, filling roles, and those guys, and they showed out, definitely. So I don't know if you guys agree, but that's kind of the take I have.
Appreciate the call, Daniel. Look, we're up against it, but the fact is you can't say that there's not guys out there that you think can help them. I think we're all in agreement that they're not we're not looking for them to overspend on the 20 plus million a year or the big name splashy free agents. But you still have to make sure the running back room is better, the positions improve. There are guys out there, but that's why I said you have to have patience, because the guys that are left standing on day two are going to be where the true bargains and the return on your investment can be found in a lot of ways. Like, take all the safeties that are still out there and the guys that thought they were going to get the McKinney money at the top of the list. If the Poyers of the world slide and some of the safeties that are out there slide, there are guys that could upgrade your safety position. Running back is the biggest concern because you really have so many holes to fill. But I think that they're still fully capable of getting guys out there that can make them better at the positions that they're filling.
Yeah, this is how I would handle free agency. I understand it's not sexy. I understand it's not going to win the PR battle. I understand it's not going to sell a lot of season tickets. I think it wins you more football games in the long run. 713-780-ESPN. Mailbag Monday coming up next. Ask the Killer Bees whatever you want to ask. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. It's time, basketball bettors. It's March Mania. Brad, I'm here to tell you about BetUS.com. I endorse one sportsbook and casino, and that's BetUS.com. They've been driving to the basket for over 30 years. This year, BetUS has an epic three-pointer, a 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits. That's right, the industry's craziest 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits, plus 10% gambler's insurance, and there's even more. BetUS accepts crypto and is offering a massive 200% crypto sign-up bonus. Gambler's insurance and crypto, you don't see that anywhere. March Mania basketball can get even more exciting with their live in-game betting. It's also a blast to check out their casino after the game. A little blackjack, craps, whatever you want to play. You can get a 250% casino bonus, by the way. Get started by visiting BetUS.com or just call them. 1-800-MY-BETUS, 1-800-MY-BETUS to learn all about their bonuses and special offers. BetUS, where the game begins.
Mail call!
It's a Mailbag Monday with the Killer Bees.
You've got mail.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Mailbag Monday, 713-780-ESPN. What is your question for the Bees? 713-780-3776. First question in the mailbag, do you think Kirk Cousins was overpaid?
When? His entire career?
Ever.
Brian was going over the exact numbers when we were talking about just how overpaid he's been. And I'm pretty sure he's made almost $500 million in his career just quarterbacking.
Yeah, it's over 400, but not, yeah, it's not 500, but yeah, it's still.
It's
just
ridiculous.
Quarterbacking. That's not even including Netflix money. That's not including endorsements. That's just his contract.
That's winning.
It was $45 million guaranteed this year and next. For,
he got
$100 million
guaranteed.
Yeah, 45 in year one, 45 in year two, and it's $10 million in year three.
Okay,
but I don't know why they structured it that way, but that's how they structured it. That's tons of money.
Yeah.
Remember when Raheem Morris said that they wanted a quarterback that symbolizes their city?
Yeah, Kirk Cousins from Michigan State. Exactly.
Kirk Cousins is that guy,
especially when Justin Fields is from Atlanta. Georgia.
He symbolized Kirk Cousins. When I think of a quarterback in the NFL that symbolizes Atlanta, I think Kirk Cousins. 713-780-3776. What are your questions for the Killer Bees? Mailbag Monday. King of Twitch, what is your favorite Astro storyline right now? That's a question he asked.
To see if Jake Myers. I'm still watching Jake Myers every day.
I don't think it's your favorite story.
No, it's not my favorite. I'm most passionate about it.
Okay.
My favorite story is probably Yiner Diaz. I really want to see him have... You just pick up where he left off in the regular season last year and just have a breakout year.
Mine's Corey Jolks. Make the roster, Corey Jolks. Go Cougs. King of Twitch also has another question. What do you think about the Cougars in the Big 12 tournament?
I think, to me, it doesn't matter what they do in the Big 12 tournament. They've already done enough. They're going to be a one seed. They handled their business better than anybody could have even expected in the first year in the Big 12. Shut up all the naysayers. And they look like they're going to be a really tough out in the tournament. So whether they go a long way in the Big 12 tournament or not, I'm fine.
I mean, can you say that nowadays?
What?
That N-word you said?
What did I say? What was the N-word?
You said naysayers.
Is that not allowed?
I don't think it should be allowed anymore. Now, the way that you used it, the context you used, it's fine. You didn't use it in a negative connotation. but a lot of white people are getting very loose with how they use the term naysayer.
Is that post-Reese Davis?
Yes.
Okay.
They're just like they feel like it's giving them free reign to say the other word, but just to replace that word for that word. The context is what makes you the racist, bro. Just saying it.
Yeah. It's just everybody thought taking the quote-unquote big step up in the Big 12 was going to take a little bit of a time and adjusting for Kelvin and the boys. I just loved every single second, and I kept yelling to the television, just blow their ass out and keep blowing them out against Kansas, because what a sweet way to finish that regular season.
That was a great day. It was a great day.
We had to have a heck of a day with
that. It was so fun. That was a great day. Really, what a regular season. 28-3, no Big 12 champ. What a job. We'll get to some Kelvin Sampson sound a little bit later, too, because he had a little mic drop moment. BQ, would you trade Davis Mills to a team like the Vikings for a fifth? How much do you think he is worth?
I think you could trade him for a bowl of soup if you want, but backup quarterback's going to be interesting. If he truly wasn't your guy and Case ended up being your guy, then I don't think you have a whole lot of value behind Davis Mills. It just depends on what you can get for him. If a fifth's all you can get, but you don't really think he's factoring in, so be it. But then there's another figure with dollar figure associated with it where you got to spend more money to get a backup quarterback.
I don't think you can get it. I don't think he's worth a fifth. Like, Mac Jones just went for a sixth.
I think the biggest thing is that they don't want to spend more money on a backup quarterback.
No, They'll just keep
him on the roster.
I don't think he could get a fifth. I wouldn't be in the market of trading him.
You might be able to get, like, a 6-7 swap.
Maybe. Yeah, probably.
That's not worth then going out and having to spend actual free agency money for a backup.
No, I'm with
you.
I'd
rather keep Davis Mills.
Me too. Lamont, would you trade the Texans' 23rd pick for Bijan Robinson?
I mean, I would.
I would, but that's not. Yeah, the Falcons aren't doing that deal.
Yes, I would. They wouldn't. That's the way to answer that. Keith from LA has got the question for us. Dream scenario: pick one, hit a walk off homer, score a game winning touchdown, make a buzzer beater, or shoot a hole in one.
Can we throw out a hole in one?
No, because that's my answer.
Is your answer really?
It's the most realistic.
You're all about team success, Jeremy.
Am I?
That's what you've said before. You're not about individual accolades.
I'm
about team success.
Whenever I'm talking about team sports, but I much rather play an individual sport.
Okay.
And what is the most realistic thing to happen? I'm not hitting a walk-off homer. I retire.
Where
is
it? It depends on where it's happened.
But if I'm picking one sport that I can play as a professional athlete, I'm picking golf.
But did he say as a pro?
No.
Because I've done a couple of them, but, I mean, not on a pro level, obviously.
I think I've scored a game-running touchdown in recreation or an intramural flag football.
Okay. See, you've done some of them.
I don't think I've made a buzzer beater.
I've done plenty of those. I have one. You legitimized one of my three hole-in-ones. Because two are on par three courses.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
So I have one hole in one. I've hit a walk off home run, but the touchdown I don't think I ever have.
I would pick the hole in one. I would pick the hole in one out of them.
I think that it's the toughest thing to get done, I think, and it's the odds are the stacked against you the worst on that one, and it's pretty awesome.
So is that your answer, Joel?
I'll go hole in one as well.
I'll be different. I take the walk-off home run. I think the that's, to me, the most dramatic moment of all of them.
Are you bat flipping?
Yeah, it is dramatic.
Hell yeah, bat flipping. They're going to catch that in the fifth row.
You're going to get beamed.
There you are.
It's a walk-off homer. The game's over.
You get ejected now in college baseball for showboating.
Do you really?
There was a guy, a Hawaii guy, that got ejected. It's more taunting. It's more of a taunting thing. He got ejected when he walked. It was like maybe a base little walk or maybe like a leadoff walk. I don't remember the situation.
What, did he put the horns down?
It was an extra innings. No, they went against Texas. He drew a walk in a big moment in extra innings, and he looked at the visiting bench and like, yeah. And he got thrown out.
They rung him?
They ran him.
That's soft.
Really?
It's a point of emphasis in college.
Can I just tell you, though, where the game is going that's going to be scary? Like, coaching softball all weekend, the 8-and-under girls softball, it's one thing that they already have walk-up music that they pick and they get introed on their at-bat. Now girls are getting in the batter's box before the pitch is thrown, and they're doing a dance and pointing to the name on the back of the jersey and then pointing to the stands. I'm like, so help me God, if you walk or strike out, someone's better say something, because you need to hear it. If you're showboating that big and you don't get a hit, That's ridiculous.
The 8-year-old girl needs to hear it?
The 8-year-old girl needs to hear it. Yes.
Come on, Joel.
You're in there. You're in there. What's the, you're doing the what's the Jefferson dance?
I don't know.
Oh, the gritty.
The gritty. You're doing the gritty in the batter's box.
Oh, Justin Jefferson.
Then you're pointing to the back of your jersey to the and showing the entire stands. And then doing a little pre-setup with your bat, swinging it around. Yeah, you damn well better get a hit or you should hear about it.
I thought you were talking about the Jeffersons, like the sitcoms that you watched that we were too young to watch.
No, smart. Yeah, no.
That's what I thought you were talking about.
My daughter saw it because she was catching some of the innings and she's looking at these girls. She came in, she goes, I'm already thinking of the day. I go, don't you even say it. The minute you start dancing in the batter's box before you get up there to hit, we're going to have a discussion. That ain't happening.
My friend's sent his picture of his son doing that the other day. Like, he was walking to the box and he did like a dance in front of the catcher's circle.
That's right. I mean, as you get older, that's where you get dotted and get knocked down.
Let the kids play.
Okay, Ken Griffey Jr.
Is that Ken Griffey?
No, that was the whole thing when Ken Griffey started that because Buck Showalter and everybody criticized him wearing his hat backwards.
Oh, yeah. That was that commercial.
Then Correa had, well, it was from the Bad News Bears, too, Let Them Play. Mm. And then Correa had hats made, I think. He and Bryce Harper wore Let Them Play.
0613, rank your top 3 barbecue spots in Houston. J-Bar M.
J-Bar M.
You're not even going to have a second?
So my top 3.
What is Gatlin's?
Killen's out there.
Gatlin's good.
Gatlin's and Killen's.
I like Corkscrew a lot. But they're all second fiddle to the greatness. That is J-Bar M.
J-Bar M is awesome.
Alpi Shingun went down yesterday. Maybe a silver lining. Maybe it's not as big a deal. Hopefully, fingers crossed. The Cougars, outright champions in the Big 12. We'll get to that next. 713-780-ESPN. It's that time of year. You're wasting your valuable time dealing with your yard. The weeds, the dead spots, all the chores that you didn't want to put up with. Well, stop! Sinlon is here so you can get your weekends back. Doesn't that sound good? Sinlon is the evolution story of the AstroTurf that was made popular by the Astrodome sister companies. And now Sinlon, S-Y-N Lawn, wants to improve your lifestyle. Stop mowing. Stop pulling weeds. Stop throwing money into an ugly yard that you're embarrassed of people seeing. Sinlon artificial grass is the best on the market. Why? Well, they offer a lifetime warranty with products that are made right here in the USA, and the quality is top shelf. The people are elite. Fully insured, fully bonded. They have their own in-house crews. Don't contract anything out. Sinlon's number one priority is making their customers happy. Sinlon is perfect for your yard, whether it's for your patio, kids' playground, your pets. No more tracking mud inside. Doesn't that sound good, too? Or how about that putting green you've always been waiting, you've always wanted? That sounds really nice. Head to 975sinlon.com to learn more. That's 975sinlon.com, 975sinlon.com, to get started on the yard of your dreams. Sinlon, control the process from yarn to yard.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Alpi Shingun. That's kind of mean for Brian. Another one bites the dust.
That is hard.
It's been less than 24 hours, and Brian's throwing some shade a little bit towards Alpi, being disrespectful to Alpi's ankle. I'm hoping for good news on this. Didn't look good.
Sure didn't.
Didn't love that he was holding his knee.
So that was the weird thing. Then people were into lip reading in the audio and saying that he said my ankle.
He definitely did.
Yeah. So maybe that holds out hope. Now, the MRI still hasn't been performed.
No, they're waiting. They haven't, or at least they haven't.
So it's weird to me that they would wait this long if it was something like a knee. I'm hopeful, fingers crossed, that just looked like one of those bad outer ankle sprains when your ankle bone hits the floor and you realize, yeah, there's that numbingly dead, that feeling at first, like you feel like your foot's going to fall off and it's broken, but that maybe we dodged a bullet and he just has a bad sprain. I hope that's the case. But boy, what a downer for what a big win that was on the road.
Yeah, it was a good win, but they lose while winning. I'm hoping for it's just 100% the ankle, because if it's just the ankle, then it's like, okay, it's probably going to cost you a little while because it looked really bad. It'd be more than a grade one ankle sprain like John Gernard had, where he didn't play through the two biggest games for the Houston Texans during the regular season. But if it's the knee, then there's concern there. Hopefully it's just the ankle. I think there's a decent chance he misses the rest of the season, even if it's only the ankle.
I think they're smart to shut him down.
Yeah, even if it's only the ankle, because he could rush back, maybe play in like a few games if it's only the ankle. Now, if you start talking about the knee, like I saw that sports doctor guy, he was
Dr. Chow.
Yeah, he was playing like out for the next 12 months. I'm like, okay, well, if it's not the knee, how could you say that?
Right.
It didn't look like an ACL type of deal either. Like,
it didn't.
So that's something that, you know, fingers crossed. Hopefully it's just a really bad ankle sprain. Because even if he broke that fibula, which was the Tank Dell injury, mm-hmm. like he's back by training camp. That's a 6-8 week injury.
Like, I get a kick out of these people that, like, they all stayed at a Holiday Inn Select last night, and they're all doctors and thinking he's already gone for all of next year, and they're you know, speculating and doing all these things. You don't know what you don't know, and let's wait till we hear what the news is. Good news is no matter what it is, you shut him down for the rest of this season if you have to, and all of the offseason, he comes back, he starts ready to go for training camp, and you're better for it. Obviously, worst case scenario is this something that's going to knock into next year's time, because that's what you don't want. You can afford, and as we've been telling you, as much as people saw the progress and want them to compete for the play-in, the best route for this team is to continue doing what it's doing, because you've seen progress. And just plan for next season. If you have Steven Adams backing up Alpi Shangoon next year and the development of all the other young players, you're better for it with whatever draft picks you add. But you don't want to have a setback and go, Steven Adams is your starting center now?
Yeah, that would be a trouble. You could probably, if that's how long it is, then you're probably looking at Jock Landale, keep him on the team at that $8 million.
And you still have to get
year.
Someone else.
Well, I mean, Jock and Steven Adams can handle it, I think.
I don't know if you want Steven Adams in this system to be your starting center.
I don't know if you have much choice.
I think Landale is your security blanket if you need him kind of guy, or guys get in foul trouble. And I think you probably, whether you draft that player or you're in free agency, you go get a player that can be a better fit offensively in the five.
Yeah, fingers crossed it's only the ankle, and he could be back by next year. Not great. Probably kills any chances of them potentially being in the play-in game, because they have been playing pretty good. Winning a road game, that was nice to see. They're starting to play good again. Like, Jalen Green had 19 points yesterday, but was playing good defense, was making some good passes. Like, Amin Thompson was strong again yesterday. So it was sad to see that. I think they're 4.5 back of the play-in right now, too. But no, Alpi chasing a couple of good teams. It does seem like that's unlikely. We mentioned Houston in Mailbag Monday. U of H, this text, 9198, says U of H will not make it to the Elite Eight. They cannot score. They'll get upset because of those long scoring droughts. I'm obviously biased when it comes to this sort of thing. They scored 76 against Kansas. Two games ago, they scored 87 at Oklahoma in a game that was an offensive shootout. And if you believe into the offensive efficiency numbers, which I do, Houston's 11th in the country in points per possession. So just throwing that out there. I know I'm a homer. I know I'm not subjective at all, but just a counterpoint for you to chew on.
Look, I'm all in on the Cougs. I think they should be the number one overall seed. I just love the way they've handled their business. And yeah, Shedd has been amazing, but Cryer has gotten better and better. The role players step up. They handle adversity well. They get over injuries. I know it doesn't matter about who gets the number one overall seed, the way that geographically everybody looks like it's going to play out. But I just think this is a team no one wants to play come postseason because of the way they go about their business, because their defense travels, and that starts everything. And then their defense turns easy buckets on the other end. You get guys going, and now when they start getting momentum and they start putting the clamps on you, you're in trouble.
What do you make of the whole – you can't sit guys in the tournament? And I'm not even sure which side that I'm on. I'm probably go play the game. In terms of restricting minutes and things like that for some of your better players in the conference tournament. Now, Houston's in a weird spot because they don't have a lot of guys on the bench.
Right.
Because they're all hurt.
So that's what I was alluding to a little earlier in the show, and I knew this was coming up. To me, no one should be worried about the results of the Big 12 tournament. The fact is, the regular season is the biggest thing for the Big 12, and you won it. And now you know that you're going to go in as a one seed. Even if you got bounced early in the Big 12 tournament, you're going to be a one seed. You've earned that with the way you've played. So really, there's not a whole lot to play for unless you want the bragging rights of being the regular season and tournament champs. But if it means compromising the health of some of these guys that you're going to need back for the tournament as the tournament moves on, and as you go deeper into the tournament, and you need, because you know depth is an issue, to get some of these guys healthier, then I'm not saying sit them, but I'm saying you make business decisions, right? You start the game. I know Kelvin wants to win every game. You start the game, and you realize, hey, if there's a situation that arises where either you're getting your doors blown off or there's foul trouble and guys are starting, or some guy goes down, I'm sitting that guy. I'm sitting him down, and I'm making sure for the rest of the tournament time he's not playing, because I need him more in March when it matters.
Yeah. The I'm not sure which school of thought. The thing is that Houston doesn't have that many players.
That's what I'm saying.
Because they're hurt. So the most you can do is restrict minutes. Like, play your bench guys more minutes. But you can't sit your players because you don't have enough guys.
You don't even have enough
to cover that. You have, let's see, you have your five starters off the bench. I mean, you have Danny Dunn, Malik Wilson, Sedlot.
I'm not saying play him.
Yeah, walk on. No, right. He's a good player. He could be a really good D2 player.
He really could. What he did the other night was fun to watch.
You just don't have enough bodies to sit everybody. So minutes restriction, playing your young guys more, playing your bench guys more, you can go that route. But they're not in position to where they can sit guys.
No, but you start your guys. You see how the game's going. You build up a lead or whatever happens. And you start blinging in the bench guys. You start getting the minutes for the bench guys. Because that's going to pay off for you in tournament time, too. The more experience you get for your bench guys, longer minutes. God forbid someone else gets hurt or there's foul trouble. You need a guy that's going to be conditioned to go in and give you longer minutes if you have to. But I'm not saying you can't sit anybody. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is you make the business decisions for the fact that what matters most is how you do in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. We have a Sampson show. I plan on asking him that a little bit later. But 4488, get guys healthy to the dance. I get it. But again, if you don't have the bodies to play.
So because of the three guys basically out for the year.
Yeah, they have three guys out for the year.
What's the depth? I mean, how does that impact the rotation? Like, how deep could you go?
The first guys off the bench are usually Damian Dunn, Malik Wilson, which are they're both kind of guards.
Right.
They've been playing some small ball four out of necessity. And then Sedlot, who's on the bench.
He's been playing
and then
a lot more lately.
That's it. Wow. Like you have an 8-man rotation and one of them is
those two guys
raw.
Can allow you to kind of really kind of watch the minutes of your starting backcourt with Cryer and Shed. But yeah.
There are three bench guys are Malik Wilson, Damian Dunn, Sedlot. Like that's it. Like, it didn't like if you know Elvin hasn't played significant minutes in a game that's been tight.
And I don't think that's going to start now.
He's the human victory cigar.
But he's got some ability with that.
No, he absolutely can play. Absolutely can play. He's great for them. He can absolutely play. Probably a future coach. Things like Kelvin Sampson even mentioned that he wanted him on his staff. But you have a 3-man bench. So if you have a 3-man bench, you can't sit guys. You can restructure minutes.
It's an interesting point because normally teams are deep enough to where if they wanted to sit all their main players, they could do that.
Or even like two. Even like two guys.
I just think the two main guys that you got to have are Shed and Cryer for now.
But you can't sit them. Like if you had a deep bench and you had everybody healthy, you could be like, okay, well, you're not going to play this game. Okay, we have a bench and we'll be able to eat those minutes. They literally cannot do that.
And plus where it really hurts you is up front. Because you'd really like to be able to get some rest for some of the bigs, but every big is absolutely needed right now.
I do think that they'll play Sedlot more minutes. And just so he can get some run, they're going to need him in the tournament as a backup big type of deal. So I imagine we'll see a decent, not like a ton, but maybe like close to 10 minutes instead of like four.
Yeah,
type of deal.
And I think that for the Big 12 tournament is what you got to do. I don't care if they get upset in the Big 12 tournament. I'd be upset if someone got hurt in the Big 12 tournament.
713-780-ESPN. So John Gernard is gone. John Gernard no longer a Houston Texan. What are your thoughts on the contract that he signed? $19 million per year, 4-year deal, bunch of guaranteed money. Did the Texans make a mistake by letting him go?